You know, I hope tonight's invitation will be a reflection and a time for us to look at the consequences and the complexities of sin. I think we learn more about that tonight in our Bible study. Look at all the things the Israelites had to do for the atonement of sin, and it wasn't really atoned until the death of Christ. And as we learn, only God understands the consequences of sin, and we can't comprehend fully, even 2,000 years later, what sin really is. There's no classification, there's no degrees of sin. And as we're told in Romans chapter 3, all men have sinned, and all men have fallen short of the glory of God. We can't save ourselves no matter how eloquent we might be, and no matter how many good works we perform. We know that our sins have been bought with a price, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 10, verse 4 says, it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sins of man. We heard everything tonight. Look what they had to go through. And it still didn't take away their sins. Not at that time. It was only the miracle of Jesus' blood that could wash away the sins of man. But it took a horrible death to accomplish this. And I've often been reminded, no matter how many years we are members of the church, we hear about the crucifixion of Christ. We hear about the crucifixion of Christ. What are we really talking about? And when I was with the church in Wesley Chapel, a physician gave me a copy of the 1986 Journal of the American Medical Association. I want to share that with you tonight as part of my invitation. It's written by Christian doctors and illustrated by Christian illustrators, telling us what Jesus actually went through. And we're left with no doubt that the Son of God died from the worst of all possible deaths. I want you to meet Dr. Bill Edwards. He was the primary writer of the AMA article. He is professor of pathology at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. His general studies are all areas of diagnostic cardiovascular pathology. During his career, Dr. Edwards has authored or co-authored more than 420 publications and more than 90 books dealing with various aspects of cardiovascular diseases. I also want you to know tonight about Floyd Hosmer, who was the medical illustrator for this article back in the 1980s. He had previously completed medical illustrations for the Mayo Clinic and the University of Georgia. And I also want to tell you, this article is still online. I encourage all of you here tonight to pull it up. I encourage everybody watching this tonight on Facebook, I want you to read the article. I'm going to preview and highlight some of the illustrations that give us a great graphic image in our mind what Jesus went through. It begins with the whipping, which was a legal preliminary to every Roman execution. The only exceptions were women and Roman senators. There was a short whip that was used. It had leather straps with small iron balls tied at intervals. The hands of the condemned were tied to an upright post. The back, buttocks, and legs were whipped by one or two soldiers taking turns. The lacerations would tear into the underlying skeletal muscles and produce ribbons of bleeding flesh. It's not known whether the number of lashes Jesus received was limited to 39 in accordance with Jewish law. The Romans, in fact, really did not always keep accurate count. And remember, during this stage, Jesus had no food, water, or sleep. Also, he was under great stress while still praying to God in the Garden of Gethsemane. The tiny capillaries in his sweat glands were breaking, mixing blood with sweat. In fact, we read in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, great drops of blood were dropped to the ground. Luke was one of the 12 apostles who Paul referred to as a beloved physician in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. This is the nail. Archaeological remains have been found near Jerusalem at the time of Christ that give us the type of nails that were used for Roman crucifixions. They were 7 inches long, and they had a square shaft that's 3/8 inches wide. Mr. Hosmer's illustration shows the iron spikes probably driven between the radius and the carpals. Nailing the hands and feet to the cross was the preferred Roman practice. In some cases, the arms and legs would be instantly paralyzed by the sharp pain from the driven nails. Remember that each wound was intended to produce intense agony and was part of many contributing causes of death on the cross. Crucifixion was a marked interference with normal respiration. The weight of the body pulling down on the outstretched arms and shoulders would make it difficult to inhale. The onset of muscle cramps would further hinder respiration efforts. To breathe required lifting the body by pushing up on the feet and by flexing the elbows and shoulders. But this would cause severe pain from moving against the iron nails. As a result, each respiratory effort would become agonizing and tiring and lead eventually to asphyxia. No one was intended to survive his crucifixion. The body was not released to the family until the soldiers were sure the victim was dead by custom. One of the Roman guards would pierce the body with a sword or lance. Traditionally, this has been considered a spear wound to the heart through the right side of the chest. The standard infantry spear was 5 to 6 feet in length. Following the day before Sabbath, the Jews asked Pontius Pilate to hasten the deaths of the three crucified men. Soldiers broke the legs of the two thieves, but when they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead. They did not break his legs. One of the soldiers did pierce his side, produced a sudden flow of blood and water. The fact that Jesus cried out in a loud voice and then bowed his head and died suggests the possibility of a catastrophic terminal event. What the AMA article suggests is a fatal cardiac arrhythmia or irregular heartbeat. And remember, he could not carry the crossbeam to his cross. He had help doing this. He was already in a weakened condition because of the whipping from the Roman soldiers. The typical crossbeam weighed about 100 pounds, so it's hard to imagine any condemned man able to do it, especially when you consider that they would first receive the same kind of whipping as Jesus. In my research, I tried to imagine how far did Jesus walk in this condition to the cross. As the Son of God, he walked toward his crucifixion. He could see the upright post at Golgotha. It was approximately 650 yards away. Imagine, if you will, if you're standing out front the doors of our church and you're facing the convenience store. The convenience store is approximately 186 yards away. That's not even half the distance that Christ walked. He would have walked from the entrance of our church past the convenience store and on down before he got to the cross. Remember also that Jesus was given a bitter drink as a very mild analgesic. He refused that while still on the cross, which means he had no painkillers whatsoever. So in conclusion tonight, the AMA article says it is hard to tell whether Jesus died of cardiac rupture or of cardiorespiratory failure. And believe it or not, some people feel that he did not die on the cross, just like some people feel that Neil Armstrong never stepped foot on the moon. But if you read the article, and I encourage you to do, listen to what the AMA article says about that. Accordingly, interpretations based on the assumption that Jesus did not die on the cross appear to be at odds with modern medical knowledge. He was dead when taken down from the cross. What an understatement that is. The Bible records Jesus raising three people from the dead, a widow's son, Jairus' daughter, and of course Lazarus, and he raised himself from the dead. And when I think about the crucifixion and why it was set up that way, it's because of sin. We don't understand it completely. We don't understand the price that was paid. We don't understand how Jesus left heaven, became man, knowing all along he was to die this death. And remember, on the cross, he could have called legions of angels. One angel would have been enough. Not the thousands of angels that could have been had Jesus did that. And he did not do that. And so, from the time Jesus died until the time tonight, imagine it's like a giant stopwatch. The seconds are ticking away because we do not know when we have any time left in our lives to obey the gospel. We have the examples written in the Bible. This is one example by a Christian doctor and a Christian illustrator of what Jesus went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 tells us that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So maybe tonight, as we think on these things, maybe we can better understand why Jesus did this. He chose to do this. And he spent the last 3 years of his life presenting a ministry unheard of in the world. For the first time in the history of man, all the things that happened in the Old Testament, all the sins, were forgiven after Jesus died on the cross. It took his blood. And it took this incredible death that's illustrated in the AMA Journal of 1986. So if anything I've said tonight presents itself to you where you would like to be restored or in fact become a member of the church and have these blessings that Jesus sacrificed, here's your opportunity now as together we stand and sing.